Our main focus this morning is going to be verses 2 and 3 of Titus chapter 2, considering Paul's instructions to Titus for how he ought to teach and instruct older men and older women. You might find this to be a rather peculiar topic for a visiting pastor to speak on, but I'm preaching through Titus in my congregation. And when I came to these verses, I found them more encouraging and challenging than I thought initially. And as I've already mentioned, even for those here this morning that are young, we are all growing older, and we will be older one day sooner than we think. And so this is going to be our focus together this morning in God's Word. I'm going to actually read verses 1 through 6 to give some of the context and then jump down and read verses 11 through 15 as well. So please give your attention to God's Word. There is a simple outline in the bulletin if you would like to use that as well. Please hear God's Word. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And then move down to verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for this opportunity now to hear it together. We ask that you would make us zealous for good works. Lord, we ask, as we have just sung in Psalm 90, that you would help us to set our hearts on wisdom's ways. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your favor on us. Lord, instruct us, correct us. Rebuke us, train us in godliness. Train us to be like Christ and show us him and help us to fix our hearts and our minds and our faith on him. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Kids, have you heard that question before? I heard that question a lot, and I often didn't have an answer. Well, think about that question in a different way this morning. Who or what do you want to be in Christ when you are older? As a Christian, when you think of it that way, what comes to your mind? Well, our passage today is a good place to start when we think about that question, because God gives us in His Word who He wants us to be, who He wants us to become. Paul urged Titus to teach what accords with sound doctrine, essentially to teach the saints sound living. But what does that look like? What does accord with sound doctrine? What does that look like in real life? Well, Paul answers that question specifically for specific groups of people here in Titus chapter 2. And today, we consider what it looks like for older men and women. And when Paul speaks of older men and women, there's no age given for this term older. In fact, life expectancy may have been quite a bit shorter in Crete during the first century. And so perhaps those in their 40s or 50s were considered older, or maybe even those in their 30s. But for all of us today, regardless of your age, I want you to think about who are you? And who do you want to be? Are you bearing these fruits that we see described here? Does your life accord with the doctrine that you profess? Now, these verses before us this morning are certainly for those who are older, but they're also for all of us. We must all seek these virtues in Christ. We must be seeking to be maturing now so that when we are older, we might be men and women like this in Jesus Christ, bearing these fruits. Now, when the world talks about or talks to older men and women, they often focus on things like, health and wealth or wealth management, hobbies, retirement, relaxing, enjoying the sunset years, how to be healthy and happy and make the most of it. The focus is often on earthly things and earthly pleasures. But what is Paul's focus here when he talks about and talks to older men and women? What is his focus? Well, his focus seems to be faith and faithfulness, Christ-likeness, perseverance, having an impact on others. And now we could look at these verses and move through them very quickly, but I want us to linger here this morning and to learn from what God says. I want us to consider these verses together. And before we consider the particulars here in verses 2 and 3, I want to point out a few general observations. First of all, notice in this chapter where Paul starts. He starts with the older men and women. He starts with the natural leaders, those who others look up to. They're first and foremost. God doesn't overlook them. They're loved by Him. They are valuable to Him and to the church. And He wants them, as they grow old, to grow in grace, to not stop growing in Christ, to grow more like Jesus, to be useful and godly, to be exemplary. And then notice, second, that they are in the church. They're in the church. The church is multi-generational. It has both old and young, men and women. And the older members had a prominent, vital presence in the family of God. It can be easy to drift away as you age, but we see here that they are in the church. And not only are they in the church, they are involved. They are not on the sidelines. They're influential. They're in their prime, if you will, bearing ripe fruit in Christ. When you compare the older men's list here in chapter 2 to what's said to the younger men, Paul expects to see more fruit in the older men, and the bar is much lower for the younger men. And while it's not explicit with the men, it's clear with the women and also with Titus as a younger man that they are to be models. They're to be like spiritual mothers and fathers in God's family. Well, with some of those general observations in mind, let's then consider specifically the teaching Titus was to give to older men and women. And I want to consider older men first. Look again with me at verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older men are called, first of all, to be sober-minded. They are to be sober, temperate, level-headed, thinking clearly and living with self-control. And this can be a particular challenge for older men because they can be overwhelmed by the folly of this world. They often have more time to observe current events and trends, and it can be head spinning. But on the other hand, they have the wisdom of many years. They've learned lessons from God's providence, from trials that the Lord has brought them through. And this can make them more level-headed, more wise, more sober-minded. They've seen God at work for decades. They've seen things come and go. They know that there is nothing new under the sun. And their sober-mindedness, which they're called to here, acts as an anchor for the church, a guide for the young. Men, are you sober-minded? Are your minds guided by the Word of God? Are they sober from lessons you've learned and from the wisdom God has given you through the years? Older men, we need your sober minds. We need your insight and your counsel, your example. Younger men, children, women, what steps are you taking? What steps are we taking now to be sober-minded? This is not simply automatic with age. You don't reach a certain age and suddenly become sober-minded. A sober mind is a trained mind, a mind guided for years by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, a mind sharpened and trained by life and by trials and by the providence of God. Well, we see here in verse 2, older men are also to be dignified. Dignified. They're to possess a dignity, a gravity, a depth of character. They're to be mature, worthy of respect. Sometimes older men become crass and undignified as they age. One of the ways they deal with the pains and losses of older age is with a coarseness and in jest. But Paul says the older they are, the more dignified, the more serious they should be, the more character they should have. Getting old is not easy. It's not for wimps, as they say. But this calls for greater character, greater dignity, a greater measure of the Spirit's work. Men, are you dignified? Are you living a life of dignity before the Lord and before the church? Well, third, we see here men are to be self-controlled. And if you read Titus, you see this coming up often. Elders are to be self-controlled, young women, young men, they're all to be self-controlled. And this is all in contrast to how the Cretans were actually known. They were known to be lazy gluttons, to not live with self-control. Older men must be temperate, moderate, governing their passions and their desires. They do not live for the self, but they practice self-denial, self-control, self-forgetfulness. Old age, and I'm not speaking from experience, but old age comes with no small number of trials and challenges. And it can be easy to lose control and to make excuses. But God would have older men be leaders in self-control. Older men, are you cultivating this self-control in your lives? Are you seeking to be controlled by the Spirit, by the Word of God, to bring your thoughts and your desires captive to Christ? Well, these three virtues are then followed by three more that are all qualified by the word sound. Verse 2 again, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Sound, healthy. Older men are to be sound in faith, love, and steadfastness. And in some ways you can think of these as the root for the virtues that come before, the root from which sober-mindedness and dignity and self-control come. Older men must be sound in the faith. They must have their eyes fixed on Christ. They shouldn't just say, well, I trusted in Christ a long time ago. They must be continually trusting in Him. They must believe sound doctrine, believe the gospel. They must be men of living, persevering faith. Even as the outer man wearies and grows old, the inner man grows stronger, lays hold of Christ with growing and ongoing faith. The same is true of love. They are to be sound in love. Love for God, love for neighbor, love for the Word of God. The more we trust Christ, the longer we walk with Him, the greater our love for Him and for His people should be. And men, I think we are often weak here. Our sisters often are better known for their love. Are you sound in love? Love for Jesus. Love for His church. Love for your fellow man. Love for your wife and your children and those who are around you. Well, finally, older men are to be sound in steadfastness. They're to be sound in their endurance. Men must persevere and not waver in their faith and in their love, in their pursuit of holiness, in their pursuit of Christ. The longer we live, the longer we must live by faith. The more we must endure by God's grace, and the more there is to endure. Well, older men, boys, girls, all of us must seek to be sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness, in self-control and dignity like Christ. And that leads us second today to the instructions for older women. Let's consider that second this morning, older women. Look again with me at verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women. Paul moves here right from older men to older women and says, likewise, emphasizing similarity and continuity. Older women are also to live lives of faith and faithfulness that accord with sound teaching, the sound doctrine that they believe. Old age for women comes with challenges, but also great opportunities. And I want to start with the two warnings that are given here, the two prohibitions. Paul says they must not be slanderers or slaves to much wine. First of all, not slanderers. In verse 4 here, it's clear that older women are going to be involved with others. They're going to be investing in them and training them, teaching young women. They'll have lots of opportunity for conversation. And so Paul warns them not to be slanderers, not to show a lack of restraint and care with their tongues, not to be gossips, literally not to be false accusers. It can be easy for those who are wise and who are experienced and who are sharing advice to speak carelessly, to slander with words, even if it's not intentional. And so Paul says, make sure older women are careful to use their influence and their wisdom for good, to teach and not to put down. Older women, you need to hear this. You need to guard your tongues even as you seek to use them for good. And we all need to hear this. We all can stumble here. We all must not slander or listen to slander. The second warning here is to not be slaves to much wine. Being enslaved, being dependent on wine or other substances. Older women are often no longer having the same pressing cares of children. Often they have different roles than they did in the past. They can have many emotional or physical burdens. They must not use this. They must not use these challenges and these realities as an excuse to seek escape through wine or through other things. This is a lack of self-control. And Paul warns against it. And now you may be hearing this and thinking to yourself, well, I don't struggle with this, or I haven't met a lot of older women who do. But what are your temptations? Perhaps this was a particular issue, a particular sin on the island of Crete. Maybe it was the norm. Maybe it was just expected that older women would get together and talk too much and drink too much. But what are the temptations for women here and now that you must be on guard against? What sins are easy to slip into and to perhaps excuse as you're older or because you're growing older? The Lord wants you to be an example. He wants you to be teachers and to press on in the faith as you grow old. And that leads us to consider the two positives that we see here addressed to older women. And the first is that they are to be reverent in behavior. Reverent in behavior. With what they do and how they conduct themselves, they are to honor and revere the Lord. They're to revere the Lord in the way they live, by their actions. They're called to be holy. Older women, you belong to the Lord. You've been set apart by Him. He calls you to honor Him, to live in a way that shows that you revere Him and you love Him. You are set apart. You are zealous for His honor and glory. And as we see here, not only does this honor the Lord, it's a blessing to others. It teaches. It inspires. It helps, especially younger women. And that's the second good work that older women are called to here. They are to teach what is good. And so train the younger women. A reverent life will teach in and of itself. But Paul envisions teaching not just by example or by presence, but by intentional training. And in the Greek, it's actually one compound word that describes women as teachers of what is good or teachers of goodness. Older women have the opportunity and the calling and responsibility from God to be teachers of goodness, to help train the next generation. And just as a side for the time and place, this was breaking barriers and elevating women in a positive and biblical way, showing their great value and their ability. Now, we need to be clear. Paul is not calling them to a church office. He's not calling them to publicly preach or teach or to have authority. But he's calling them to teach younger women. Titus is not the only teacher in the church. And what we see described here is that in a healthy biblical church, older women teach by example and by conversation and by intentional training. I think it can be easy for older saints to think, what do I have to offer? I have less energy now. I don't have that much influence. The world has changed so much. I'm happy to step back and let others step in. But Titus 2 says that what you have to offer is vital. What you have to offer, we need, the church needs. Offer your lives to Christ. Live lives of reverence and show others what that looks like. We need the faith and faithfulness, the wisdom, the godliness of older women. We need your prayer. We need your love, your training. We don't need men teaching younger women the finer details of being a wife and a mother. We need women who have walked this road before doing that in the church. Now, this is all easier said than done. We can like the idea of this. We can agree with this on paper, but wonder how it's actually accomplished. What does this look like? Well, I would ask the older women, first of all, how they have found ways to do this. But a few things do come to mind, or I've seen done effectively. First of all, be present. Be known and be seen. Older women, you are an example and an encouragement by your very presence. You are a living picture of persevering faith and reverence and worship. But beyond that, I would encourage you to be intentional, to get to know younger women. Sit down by them at fellowship lunch. You'll have that opportunity today. Ask them, how are you? How can I pray for you? Simple questions. Invite them over to bake or to cook with you or to do some sort of activity. Ask them if you can share a lesson that you have learned. Offer to watch their children or take a meal to them or share a note with them, a word of encouragement. Use opportunities in the church schedule to meet and to minister to younger women. Maybe it's in church classes or Bible studies or social times or in a prayer meeting. So you can know how to pray for younger women and be an example to them. But young people and younger women, this is not all on the older women. You need to look for godly women, older women. You need to seek this out. They are one of our greatest blessings and resources. Ask them questions. Seek to learn from them. Be humble and teachable. Welcome them and their input and their example. Well, we've briefly considered this morning Paul's instructions to Titus for teaching older men and older women. And there's a lot to think about here, and there's more that could be said. But I want to close with some further application from this as we've considered it today. First of all, younger brothers and sisters, and kids, children. You'll see this more if you were to read through Titus. But I want you to see and recognize the vital importance of older men and women. Older men and women in your life. Yes, your parents are vitally important. But other older men and women, they're vitally important in your life and in the life of the church. We need them. We need you, older men and women. We need their prayer. We need their example, their faith, their friendship, their stability, their sober-mindedness, their wisdom, their reverence, their dignity, their training. We need their sound faith and love and steadfastness. If you don't realize that you need the presence of older men and women in your life, you need to understand that. And that's one of the blessings of being in the church. Second, if you're here today and you don't consider yourself older, you need to realize that you will be older one day soon. And it will happen faster than you think. You'll be older one day soon, and Jesus will call you to be a model and an example, a teacher. And so number your days now, even if you're here and you're very young. Seek that which is eternal and true and profitable. John Newton once said he had but one disease that was incurable, and it was old age. Should it please the Lord, and until Christ returns, we will all grow old in this room, and we will all die until Christ returns. And so use the days that God has given you. Use the strength He's given you for the things of God, to love Him and to love others, to glorify Him, to seek wisdom and godliness. Prepare yourself now for the time when you are older. And then third, this morning, and especially for those of you who are older, fix your eyes on Jesus. And think about Jesus this morning. Jesus died young. He died willingly, not as an old man. He died willingly for sinners. He laid down His life even though He was strong and healthy. He died not so that you can live a long life. He died so that you can have eternal life. He died not so that you can live for yourself, but for Him. He lived short, a relatively short life. He never grew old, and yet He was the picture of self-control, the picture of dignity and reverence, the perfect teacher. And He is your Savior, and He is your ultimate example. He is the one that you need to fix your eyes on. Hebrews 12 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Brothers and sisters, as you run your race, as the race is long and you do grow weary, keep your eyes on Him. He is your righteousness and your sanctification. We all fail here. We will fail in these things we are called to. We often lack self-control. At times we are far from reverent. Sometimes we have to say to those younger than us, not do as I do, but don't do as I have done. But Christ is your righteousness. He will complete the work He has begun in you. And one day when He returns, you will rise again with a glorified body that will never sin and will never die. And so fix your eyes on Jesus, because He is your righteousness and your sanctification. He is also your resurrection and life. Fix your eyes on Him because He is also your King. He is seated on the throne right now. He still has you in His service for a reason here on earth. He has work for you. He's sovereign over everything in your life. Your life may be full of sorrow, mysteries, joys and pains, ups and downs, but it's all serving His purposes. It's all conforming you to Him. It's all for His glory. He's working all things together. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Friends, look to Him. Look to that which is unseen with faith. Look ahead to glory, to eternity. And know that He is coming again soon to wipe away every tear, to make death and old age no more, to end all mourning and crying and pain. But until then, fix your eyes on Him. Be sound in faith and in love. Live for Him. And it will be a great blessing to you and to the church. And it will bring glory to God, our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, your word to us here in Titus chapter 2. We thank you for those older saints there on the island of Crete that we will one day meet. Father, I thank you for the way in which you bless the church with those who are older and wiser, and that you call them to be teachers and examples. Father, I pray that you would be working this Christ-likeness, this maturity, this self-control, this faithfulness in all of us. Lord, I pray that older men and women would be teachers and examples. I pray that all of us would be growing into those who are mature in Christ, who are awaiting His return, who are zealous for good works, all for His glory, because He gave His life for us. Lord, do this in us, not for our sake ultimately, but for your name and for your glory and for the good of your bride. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.